Welcome to another episode of Reading the Bible Responsibly. We are now on our fifth installment in our miniseries called...
You keep using the word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
Let's talk about the world. The concept of the world is pretty prevalent in Scripture. We talk about God creating the world and having the whole world in His hands. We talk about our responsibility to love and care for the world. But there are also passages about not being of the world or not loving the world. Are there multiple senses of this word in the Bible? What is the Christian relationship to the world? Let me give you two verses from John that really help us understand the difficulty and the tension with this concept. The first is from John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16, which you probably know pretty well. The text there says that God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. But then we go to John's first letter, chapter 2, verse 15, where John tells his readers, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them." So you may see the obvious tension. The Gospel of John tells us that God loves the world, but his letter tells us that we're not supposed to? Well, rather than viewing this as an obvious contradiction, we might then see if there are some different senses in which the biblical writers use the word world. The first sense would be using the word world to represent all of creation. This would just be a neutral description. Now, the Greek word for world is cosmos. So you can probably see the connection to how we use the term cosmos to refer to all of creation, even the stars and the heavens and the skies, everything. Let's look at a few verses where it's used in this way. In the Greek translation of Genesis 2:1, we call the Greek translation of the Old Testament the Septuagint. Here's how creation is described. The heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. The Greek word there is cosmos, and it just means the vast array, the heavens and the earth. Similar in Deuteronomy 4:19, when you look up to the sky and see the sun, moon, and stars, all the heavenly array. And again, when that got translated into Greek, heavenly array is cosmos. Even in the New Testament, Acts 17:24, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. So there's the first sense of the word. It would just be all of creation. So it's the heavens and the earth and the waters and then everything that occupies those things, all of creation. A second sense of the word world might be the sphere of human life. This is another neutral description and kind of refers to human existence and all that's a part of that, all the spaces in which we live. Here are some examples of that. Mark 8:36, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or Matthew 4:8, where the devil takes Jesus to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. Or John 1:9-10, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. And then 1 Corinthians 5:9-10, where Paul says, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. So that's the second sense, sort of the sphere of human existence, the boundaries of where we live, the world as we can see it and experience it. But the third sense is different. The third sense in which the Bible uses the word world is still about humanity, but it narrows its focus to refer to the wicked and unsaved portion of humanity as contrasted with God's people. This third sense is not just a neutral description. Many biblical writers use it in this sense. Paul uses it like this. 1 Corinthians 5:19, God was reconciling the world to himself. Romans 12:2, don't conform to the pattern of this world. James, in chapter 4, verse 4, says, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? And if anyone chooses to be a friend of the world, he becomes an enemy of God. Peter uses it like this in 2 Peter 2:20. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and overcome, they're worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. And John uses it this way, even in his Gospel, chapter 3, verse 19, where he says, light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. So in other words, the world by default was without light. And that sense of the word world is negative. It's the part of the world that's opposed to God. And that brings us back to the verse we looked at the beginning from John's letter, chapter 2:15, where he says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them." There's that negative sense of world. So as you can see, multiple biblical writers use the word world in several senses. Sometimes it's neutral, and sometimes it's not. This matters because Christians are constantly trying to think of our relationship with the world. And if we think that every sense of the world is negative, then it might lead us to read Scripture with a sort of lens of withdrawal. So our goal would then be to pull away from society because we think that not loving the world might mean separating from every sense of what we mean by world, like actually pulling out of just neutral society. Sometimes we look at Jesus' prayer for his disciples and all believers, where he talks about the world extensively. We read Jesus' statement that his disciples are, quote, "not of the world, even as Jesus is not of it." That's John 17:16. But in the verse right before it, Jesus prays that God would not take his disciples out of the world, but that he would protect them. As we think about our relationship with the world, we should remember that Scripture doesn't talk about the world in exclusively negative terms. We are in this world, and we have much to do while we're here. We're not called to withdraw or escape, but to engage. We can be grateful for the world that God created and for our role and responsibility in it. Thanks for sticking with us through this mini-series called
"You Keep Using the Word. I Don't Think It Means What You Think It Means."
I appreciate your attention to these important words that Scripture uses and that we want to use in a more responsible way. Please consider subscribing and leaving a rating and review and sharing this with a friend. We continue to get new listeners, and for that, I'm really grateful. For all of you who are helping to get the word out, thanks for that. That's such an encouragement. Stay tuned for the next episode in our mini-series.